Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And, of course, the download or whatever it is on the iOS podcast thing. If you really want to help the show, if you really want to support, let's say you're like, you know, I'm not going to go to your Patreon. I'm not going to give you money, you beggars. Then if you really want to support the show in a non-financial way, go to that iOS podcast app, leave a rating or a review, and bang, it jacks us up in the sports and rec category.
Yeah.
And we'd much appreciate it. I'm going to give a shout out, not this episode, but one of the next ones, all the people who have left reviews lately. So one day I'm going to shout out the patrons. Next day I'm going to shout out the ratings and reviews.
That's very nice.
Shout them out. Why not?
Good idea.
You're helping the show. You're supporting the show. I really appreciate it. We're also on the Patreon, patreon.com/... Oh, what is going on with that?
I know, I was reading wrestling news, and then...
Man.
All sort of bright flashing colors and stuff.
Viruses happening on your computer?
I have no idea.
Wow, that's crazy stuff. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. Three live streams per week recapping things. Right now, we're at the dollar... The dollars are in. The dollar people are in.
Post-pay-per-view Raw streams for dollars and up.
You can watch me do my terrible Johnny Carson impression.
It was awful.
That's crazy stuff.
Just stop. It's terrible.
Ed? How do you think? What do you think about that? Wow, that's a big jug of water you got there, Ed.
I'm not going to do it. That's so bad.
Come on, do an Ed McMahon.
I'm not going to do it. We have a show to do.
You are correct, sir.
That's terrible, too.
You know what my Ed McMahon is? It's just Phil Hartman doing Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. They're great.
Oh, Phil Hartman was the best.
He was the best. Anyways, we're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. We got some shirts.
You can get this shirt there, but it's not our shirt. Yeah. Look. That's our shirt.
It says bad words.
We need to sell more shirts to unlock more designs, right?
Yeah. Quick note, too. We have a very special live event happening in Los Angeles. The day of No Mercy.
No Mercy. No Mercy Day.
September 24th at 1 p.m. in the Nerdist showroom at Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles there on the Sunset Strip.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be there along with Brian Zane from Wrestling With Regret. We're going to be reviewing this really bad pilot for like a TV show called Tag Team.
Yeah, with Roddy Piper and Jesse Ventura.
Right, exactly. It's on YouTube. Just Google it and you can watch it beforehand. And then you can come and listen to us review it.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun. Tickets are available. The link is in the description. I think it's at the very top of the description.
It is.
So check that out. That should be, a lot of fun.
It should be a good time, yes. Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about Raw, Larson.
Raw!
Okay, here's my nutshell. I was not that impressed with
you
Raw last night.
You texted me and you called it trash.
I called it garbage, but then everybody, I put out a poll on the Twitter. And the vast majority of people said it was just okay, as opposed to usual, which it's like terrible. Like a lot of people usually say it's terrible.
Not a lot happened, but it was briskly paced. There really wasn't any boring segments.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it wasn't great, but also wasn't boring and it wasn't bad. So I, for the most part, enjoyed it. But I also find that if I'm like doing things while watching Raw,
right,
like doing a little work or something, it enhances my enjoyment of the show.
So, yeah, I'm looking at the poll right here. What? Wow. 1,300 votes. Wow.
Wow.
61% said it was just okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Which is really good for Raw. Tops, like 21% of the people said tops, and only 18% of the people said it was crapola. I'm fully willing to admit that, hey, maybe I was just off. Maybe something was wrong with me. Because I'm not going to sit here and just
be
negative Nelly.
Do you think it was a matter of expectations? Because I think we both had hopes
that
this would be kind of to a slightly lesser extent, a Raw after Mania situation.
The crowd was.
Yeah.
The crowd, and I think the crowd was sort of expecting a Raw after Mania with maybe some NXT call-ups.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see any of those.
Nope.
We did see the return to Raw of John Cena, of course. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
there was
wasn't into it.
They reshuffled the deck a bit, setting things up for the fall storyline wise.
Yeah,
especially with the introduction of John Cena.
Yeah,
so that was good. The show kicked off with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar coming out. Heyman gloating about Lesnar's victory at SummerSlam. Out comes Braun. Doesn't say a word. Attacks Brock.
Yeah, that was good.
Power slams him twice.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed later in the show. That's our main event for No Mercy. So now we have to go. It's Strowman versus Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. I keep on thinking in my head we're already going. But yeah, we still have to buy tickets.
You just have to buy tickets.
Okay. Number one.
One.
Because this fascinates me. This doesn't count out. This fascinates me. Do you think Brock likes Braun?
I would hope so.
Because, okay, here's the thing. That's how you know we're going to get a fun match, is if Brock enjoys his time there. Otherwise, it's going to be boring.
Yeah.
I think I get the impression that Brock likes Braun.
I have a feeling that Brock likes guys who like to fight.
Yeah, that's
why I
think
he likes Joe. That's why I heard that he respects the fact that Joe's comfortable not planning things out, and Joe's comfortable mixing up a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
And I think if you're willing to do that with him, he might be cool with you.
I think Brock also respects, which Braun doesn't have, I think Brock also respects if you've got a history, if you've paid your dues. I think he respects that.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Braun, that's interesting you say all that. I mean, that you've heard that, because what was the disconnect with Dean Ambrose? You think Brock looks at Dean Ambrose and says, "You weigh like a buck 50, and
maybe
you're trying to be a hard
guy." Maybe
it's
the CZW stuff.
Oh, that could be. You think Brock doesn't respond? Did you see that GIF I sent? I tweeted.
Oh yeah, the guy that does the jumps off the like the structure of a building, try to hit the guy through the table and gets nothing.
he gets a dislocated hip. That's what he
probably
gets.
Shattered his elbow too. I wash out like six times.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And every single time I go, oh.
And then
he just sort of
I know it's bad, but then you watch enough times and you're like you chuckle a little bit because of the bounce.
No, dude, you have to,
because it's such a weird image.
It's very surreal
to see someone, because I've never seen that before. Someone just over jump a table.
It's very surreal.
And I show it to my wife. Usually she's not cool with that kind of stuff, but I think she saw that I was watching it repeatedly.
Yeah.
So it can't be that bad.
Yeah.
And she kind of had the same response, like, oh, that's bad, but it's also kind of,
well,
in a surreal manner, kind of funny.
No body parts ended up where they weren't supposed to be.
That we saw.
So that was kind of, well, yeah, externally.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Superficially.
We didn't see any compound fractures or anything like that.
Exactly.
No.
And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, so there's no blood.
Because like somebody showed us still, somebody like screenshotted, because I didn't watch the replay. And I barely watched that match in the first place, the street fight, the Brooklyn street fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, who cares about that? But then somebody did post like a still that I happened to catch of Cass's knee in the wrong place.
Yeah, it looked like
his, oh, God, it looks
like
it hurt
his
so
knee
much.
Got trapped under him a little bit.
Yeah, but anyways, so yeah, like you said, Braun and Lesnar. So then it was confirmed at some point during the show that indeed is going to be our main event for the Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar.
And that should be a lot of fun if especially the beating that Brock took at the hands of Braun is any indication.
Yeah,
he's willing to do high spots with Braun. He's willing to sell for him.
Brock came out.
And that's going to go a long way for Braun. You know, assuming he will lose a match. Braun will. But if Brock makes Braun look great, it still does wonders for Braun.
No, I agree. Brock came out. He looked like he was in a good mood last night.
He did.
So
maybe he's enjoying his job.
Maybe he knows that he's got a bigger payday on the horizon. That's probably more the case.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on. Next up, we had
Enzo promo.
Another Enzo promo.
I'm just kind of checking myself out when he comes on TV.
Well,
I'm just completely checked out. I'll kind of passively listen.
Well, look, man, regardless of what you know, this is the blow-off here. I mean, this.
Oh,
Enzo,
I know.
Whether Enzo won the blow-off match.
Whether it was intended to be or not, it's the blow-off of the foreseeable future. Because,
oh, well, here's the thing. I don't think it was intended to be. I think this is going to go on and on and on and
on. Yeah, no. Towards what ended up being the end of the match, Cass goes for the boot. Enzo moves and drops the bottom rope or top rope down. Cass falls over, top rope tumbles to the outside. When he lands awkwardly. Looks like his foot got cut under his body.
Yeah.
Probably twisted up his knee a bit.
Yeah.
He was in obvious discomfort, got in the ring, was trying to walk on it.
Yeah.
He's having trouble. Yeah. He tries the best he can. goes for an Empire elbow. He just can't do it. Mm. His knee just completely gives out.
Yeah.
And so the ref goes over to him and stops the match. You can tell, like, right when Cass got right back in the ring that he was talking to the ref a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe the ref was aware of the fact that something happened that wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
And Cass seemed obviously upset.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He seemed super
upset.
That
he knew this was going to be a ways to come back from. Because that's an absolute bummer. Hopefully mm-hmm. it's not that long. I mean, look, we can crap all over the storyline, but you don't want to see a guy get hurt.
I know.
You know?
So. I just say that after watching that GIF a bunch of times and kind of...
Okay, well, here's the thing.
That
if you're
bit,
in a high school...
So...
How much do you think that guy was making that night? 50 bucks?
Yeah,
if that?
100 at most.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I do kind of draw a limit. Like, at that point, I'm like, no, don't do that.
Oh, I know.
It's so not worth it.
No.
Like, you're in a high school gymnasium.
You're about 10 feet in the air, or 10 feet above the ground.
His head was probably around 20 feet above the ground. Because it looked like, dude, there were two lengths of him. Like, of him. And if he's a six, let's say he's like 6 feet.
No, I'm saying is that structure he or the support he was on looked like it was in line with the basketball hoop.
Yeah, yeah. So that was around 10 feet. So he's about, his head's about 16 feet up there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a long ways to go
down.
And you don't do that.
No.
You don't do that.
But regardless of, you know, if I might have chuckled during that GIF because I watched it so many times.
Oh, yeah. And plus, you don't see
it's still not fun. It's not fun seeing someone get hurt.
Yeah,
it's just
no.
not fun.
No.
It's a surreal image. That's why I chuckled at it. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't laugh at people's pain.
It's you know, sometimes surreal sights like that are just funny.
I know.
Anyways.
So anyways, hopefully I read online that Cass was scheduled for MRI today. Hopefully no severe knee damage.
Yeah.
But based on his reaction, I'm guessing he knew something bad had happened in his knee.
Yeah, not good. Next up, we had Emma and Dana Brooke backstage. Real quick side note here. Apparently, Dana Brooke's boyfriend passed away yesterday. He choked on his meal, apparently, while he was eating alone, and he died. That's horrible. That's horrific.
Yeah,
he was found last night. So
that's
our hearts
really
and thoughts
bad.
Go out to Dana Brooke, mm-hmm. man. We really like her. Like, you know, she's... I feel I always get the feeling that like Dana Brooke is like a hard worker who really mm-hmm. wants to do good,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't come off like a diva, if you will.
No.
And
especially on Breaking Ground.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so this is freaking devastating right now. So man, I couldn't imagine what she's going through right now. It's pretty awful. Emma was back there with her, and Emma was once again complaining about, or making excuses, basically.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, if only the cards had been stacked differently, I would be the women's Raw champion right now because I would have taken on Sasha, Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
And I would have won.
And once again, Dana said, but you tapped out.
Yeah, and she was ripping Nia Jax, and then Nia Jax rolls up behind her, and Emma's like, how long were you sitting there? And Nia Jax says, a while. She's like, oh no. And then that led to a match between the two of them. And Nia Jax, of course,
destroyed
completely,
her.
Completely destroyed her. Nia Jax went over with a Samoan drop.
Yeah.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, Elias.
Did you enjoy his song last night?
I did because he started to sing R-Truth song. And he said, ha ha, just kidding. Now for some real music.
There's a couple times that you could tell it was really hard for him to contain a smile. He was just trying to hold it back so much.
Oh, he's the best. So anyways, his eventual song was interrupted by R-Truth, who comes down, and Elias picks up a win. I swear, the bell rang. I went to the kitchen to grab something, and while I was in the kitchen, I heard, there's his drift away, and I look back, and...
It was very short.
Man, here's the thing I love. This happened a couple times during the night. They have found such a good match of Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and Booker T, who I feel Booker T sort of gives the least number of Fs, and so he's kind of the catalyst for a lot of their laughter.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that they never brought back David Otunga because he wouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Booker T lightens the mood so much. It was this while they were trying to seriously plug that Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah.
Like Booker T kept on going like this, sort of making light of it. And Corey Graves and Michael Cole are both just trying not to laugh. And it was during this as well that Booker T, I love this dynamic, that Booker T and Michael Cole pay so much respect to Elias.
They love Elias.
They love Elias and they give so much credit to his musical ability.
Yeah.
And it just infuriates Corey Graves. It's so much fun to watch these guys work. It really is. Like you think, like,
because in NXT, like, Corey would talk trash about Samson,
mm-hmm.
but Tom Phillips would just kind of react to whatever Corey was saying, but not necessarily stand up for Elias, because Elias was the heel.
Right, exactly, yeah. But I love that Michael Cole, who seems to have all the power in terms of WWE commentary these days, he's not afraid, like, he doesn't feel the need to play it super seriously.
I know.
They can have some fun with their job. And that just makes it fun for viewers at home. Next up, Kurt Angle came down to drop a promo.
Saying there's a new superstar here on Raw. And for the first time in over a year.
The prototype.
John Cena is back.
He said, "What's your name?" And he said, "John Cena. Ruthless aggression."
Yeah.
No, that's when he first came out.
Yes. So John Cena comes out, drops a promo saying that he's here on Raw. He likes SmackDown well enough.
He took off his hat. And he's got John just does not, for a guy who according to TV, like the Total Bellas or whatever it is, which I know that's totally an over exaggeration of what John Cena is, but for a guy who seems so disciplined and regimented and serious about his work, he is completely, I'm not going to say checked out. That's not the right word.
No, like we said earlier, there's no pressure on him. He can just go out and have a good time.
I think it's like to a ridiculous degree at this point.
Yeah.
It's like poofy hair. He hasn't got his hair cut in forever.
I wonder if he's grown his hair out for a movie. That's why.
How long can he, like, what does he really need to do to grow it out?
Maybe he needs Elias Samson type long hair.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So he comes out and says, "SmackDown's fine. I enjoyed my time there. But I'm here on Raw because there's one man that I want to face."
Yeah.
Cue Roman Reigns' music.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Cena says, "Look at that. Just the man I was talking about." They start talking. Miz comes out. Once again, heel that makes good points.
Yeah, it's funny because the crowd was so into
The Miz.
They were really into The Miz. And The Miz was, I feel like The Miz was alternating between trying to heel in the crowd at the same time not doing that. So I don't know where he stood on that. But people love The Miz. They really popped when he said, "I've been doing this for 12 damn years. I deserve some respect." And that's when they really popped and said, "You deserve it. You know, give him his moment," or whatever it was he was demanding. So it was kind of like the WrestleMania and the lead up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
People are really they're appreciating The Miz too much to really let him get under their skin.
Yeah. He's just so good on the mic.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate it. So Cena challenged The Miz to a tag team match, Cena and Reigns against Miz and a partner of his choosing.
Yeah.
Of course, Samoa Joe comes out.
Mm-hmm.
He tells the Miz, "You know, your partner's not going to be Bo Dallas."
Yeah.
Or Curtis Axel.
It's going to be me.
It's going to be me.
It's going to be Joe.
So we have this interesting storyline brewing around the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
Which is interesting. They're kind of emulating what they did with the Universal title, having probably a couple narrative threads going, intersecting around the title. We'll see what happens with it.
Well, let me ask you, though. Do you think, because I think that The Miz holding the Intercontinental Championship is incidental to what's going on. Because I don't think Samoa Joe, John Cena, or Roman Reigns, I don't think any of them are going to be in it. Maybe Samoa Joe. You think they're going to be in a program for the Intercontinental Championship?
Not directly.
Yeah, I don't think
so. If Cena's never won the Intercontinental Championship, there's always a chance they'll put it on him.
You really think so?
If not, no other reason than to transition away from Miz to, say, Joe.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like everybody in the ring, including the Miz, are kind of above the Intercontinental Championship.
The fact that the Intercontinental title wasn't defended at SummerSlam.
Yeah, Miz is sort of the IC Championship at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that's going to be... I'm not sure I want that to happen, but, I mean, you know, I don't know. Cena with a title again, it'll be fine, whatever. But I just like that The Miz seems just bigger than it now also.
Yeah.
So, that led to... I love the moment between... It was a markout moment when Joe and Cena finally...
Oh, that was great, because Joe looks at Cena in size.
Yeah.
Like he was reflecting on the past 17 years because they were in
right,
WWE
exactly.
developmental together.
The paths that both
their,
of them
their careers
took
really yeah, divergent yeah. paths.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, for them to meet in yeah. a WWE ring, you know, 15 years later,
mm-hmm.
and that was all in his face.
Yeah,
and it was great.
No, it was good. It was.
And then he
good.
Punches him.
Yeah. Yeah, he just walks up to him and yeah, just starts beating on him.
It was fantastic.
So that
Joe
was good. I mean, it did illustrate. I'll say this: it did illustrate that Cena has. I mean, you know, the brand split is what, a year and a half old now.
A little bit more than a year, but a year
okay.
and a month.
Okay. Oh yeah, because it was SummerSlam. That's
it was right. last July.
Right. Yeah. Cena's got fresh matchups thanks to NXT call-ups, thanks to a number of things, thanks to. You know, shifting of, you know, certain career paths like Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Cena has some you can call them kind of dream matchups over there on Raw waiting for him.
Oh, yeah. You got him and Joe, him and Reigns.
Him and Braun,
mm-hmm.
potentially. So there's a lot to work with there. That's probably the main reason why Cena came over to Raw. There really wasn't left for anything for him to do on SmackDown. Nakamura sort of holding the fort in that kind of role there.
Yeah.
He'll get that title.
No,
he'll
I know.
He'll get the title. He'll get the title.
No, I know he will.
So yeah, that was fun. That led to did we mention the main event? Did you mention that?
Led to the main event.
Okay, led to the main event. Cena just adopts Roman Reigns as a partner.
I know.
And he says, me and Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns goes, I kind of appreciate that. That's sort of Roman Reigns, his heel turn, if you will. His gimmick is just sort of like being
I feel like he's just kind of put out.
Yeah, put out. Thank you. That's the word. I was gonna go with the exacerbated, but it's not really that. Was put out, like his look is always this.
I feel like that he too easily kind of drifts into the background of a lot of segments, though.
He does.
It's real easy for him to
really
just kind
does.
Of disappear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even during the Fatal 4-Way match, I mean, apart from the spots that were obviously booked to prominently feature him,
mm-hmm.
he just fade into the background.
But the thing is, he's always that guy who, when he does, I mean, you could say that he's the guy that. You're right. He fades in the background, but he's always looming there.
No,
you know
I know.
What I mean?
I know. But he doesn't command the ring. He doesn't command your
That's
attention.
True.
Is what I'm saying.
That's true.
Like when Joe's in the ring, mm-hmm. you pay attention.
Yep.
When Braun's in the ring, you pay attention. When Brock's in the ring, you pay attention.
Yeah.
And I think the reason you would pay attention to Reigns is because we've been kind of, you know, we've been told essentially. This is a guy you have to pay attention to.
Well, we've been conditioned to understand
yes, that's
that he's going to win no matter what.
Yes,
yeah.
conditioned.
Yeah.
Next, we had an 8-man cruiserweight match. You know, normally when they stick these multi-man cruiserweight tag matches on the show,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of dull.
Yeah.
This was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a fun match. I am talking about conditioned. Because of how many people were involved here, I kind of checked out. It's a fun match. It's a
I
fun
like
match.
Everybody in the match. So I mean, that helps to pay attention.
Yeah.
I think maybe
Mustafa Ali had some cool stuff.
Maybe
going on.
Subconsciously with the title change last week on Raw, it made me feel like, oh, maybe something of significance can happen in the cruiserweight division on Raw.
Yeah.
So it's worth paying attention. It was worth paying attention just because of that lumbar check.
Oh my gosh,
that
Tony
Cedric
Nese
did
it.
Tony Nese.
That?
Tony Nese sold that marvelously.
Oh yeah, it was great. No, I like all these guys. I like 205 Live. I'm still not there. I know the title changed hands on Raw, but I'm like, you know what? I'll watch 205 Live for 205 Live, and that's because I know that's where the stuff happens.
Oh, I know. You know? They do need to do a better job of advancing story on Raw instead of just having showcase matches.
Yeah, showcase matches.
Next, Neville interview. Neville is magnificent.
Neville is the man. He is the best.
He might be doing the best character work in all WWE right now.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Because, definitely on the main roster.
And also, you know what helps that is the fact that he sticks to kayfabe. Outside of programming.
Certainly doesn't hurt.
No, I agree. Anyways, he was talking crap about Tozawa, and what did he call Titus O'Neil?
A parasite. Was it a
like
flesh-eating
disease?
Flesh-eating parasite or something like that, yeah.
Titus O'Neil. And then speaking of which, Titus O'Neil and Akira Tozawa show up, and they essentially say, we've got one word for you, and that's rematch.
Yep, that's happening on 205 Live
this week.
That
should be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
What's your prediction on that?
Neville retains.
Yeah, I think Neville retains.
They were really talking up Cedric Alexander during the Cruiserweight match. So he might be next in line.
All right.
Next, Kurt Angle is backstage on his phone. Jason Jordan comes in, and Jason Jordan says that he wants a challenge, so he wants Finn Balor.
Kurt Angle does.
He doesn't want any favoritism, maybe preferential treatment.
Well, then Kurt Angle should have said no. No, then. Why no? Sorry, look at your win-loss record. Always go back to, because Kurt Angle did the same heavy sigh. Ooh, man. Ooh. I don't know how this is going to look. Yeah, are they trying to bury Jason Jordan? Is that the point of this? Are they seeing, are they experimenting with how deep they can bury somebody?
No, there was a moment in the Finn Balor match that I think might serve as a very subtle pivot.
Okay.
We'll get to it when we talk about, or we're going to talk about it now. No, we'll wait till the match because I want to talk about beach balls.
Okay.
Next, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose promo.
Yeah, this is fun.
It was all right.
Yeah. They're nerds. That's what it is. They're nerds.
They are.
It feels like old times. You know, they're too steep. They're nerds.
They're a nostalgia act already.
That's what they are. They're a nostalgia act. You're so right about that.
And how they get the crowd to pop more. Toss in another nostalgia act because the Hardy Boys come out and Seth Rollins says, Hardy's challenging to a match because they want the tag titles back. And Seth says something like, "You know, we grew up watching you two innovate."
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, this is just all nostalgia going on in the ring right now. There's Shield nostalgia. Yeah. There's Hardy's nostalgia. Yeah. Nostalgia across the board.
Yeah, it was great.
And maybe that's why I wasn't too into it. The match was good. It was a lot of fun.
This is a really long match, too. They gave these guys a million years.
If they give Seth and Dean 15 minutes for all their matches, it'll be delightful. Imagine how good of a match
wonderful.
Seth and Dean will put on against the Revival.
Oh, I know.
Just the interplay between both those teams would be fantastic. If the Revival can stay healthy while these two are still a team, it will be magnificent.
Okay, so we're still on... I guess this is a non-news thing, but we're on Broken IP Gimmick Watch 2017 still, which apparently is dead in the water.
But Matt did say, yes!
Corey Graves used the word obsolete. The crowd was totally into the delete and obsolete chants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I don't either.
But no, like you said... Super fun match. Again, whenever I watch a Hardy Boys match, I always think to myself, how does Jeff Hardy still take the bumps that he takes? Because, man, he ragdolls himself. Jeff Hardy seemed really geeked to be in the ring, too. Like, when they were doing the promo stuff at the beginning, the friendly competition thing, Jeff Hardy was talking a lot, and he was really, like...
Very comfortable.
Yeah, very comfortable, very energetic.
Yeah.
Usually he kind of broods a little bit.
Yeah, no, he seems to be really enjoying his most recent stint.
Yeah, he does. He does.
And the Hardy Boys alluded to their own problems getting along as brothers.
Yeah.
Their previous feuds.
Wonderful.
But anyways, of course, the tag champions retain.
Mm-hmm.
I guess their finisher is just going to be both of them doing their finishers.
Yes.
Rollins does his ripcord knee thing.
Yeah.
Followed by Dirty Deeds. Rollins pins Jeff. I would really like to see them come up with some sort of joint.
That'd be fun.
Team finisher. Imagine if they had done... They can't do this. Ambrose gets someone Dirty Deeds.
Okay.
Rollins goes for a curb stomp. Curtis curb stomp.
Oh, man. They should do that. They should totally do that. That'd be great. Oh, I love that. It's a great idea, though.
Next.
See, that's why 2K needs to create your own finishers. Create your own tag finishers. Are you kidding me? That'd be fantastic.
That'd be fantastic. Next. Miz backstage. Talking strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe says, no.
No.
My way. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody sort of bows to his alpha maleness. And they say, he says, cool, cool. And then Miz taps him on the shoulder and he goes,
Miz is Joe's great. The best. Miz is great.
We can agree on both Miz of those things. Miz is great. Things.
Joe is the
we
best.
We can agree on both of those things.
Next, Sasha Banks comes out to the ring, drops a promo saying that her Brooklyn curse has been broken.
Yes.
She finally scored a win in Brooklyn.
Correct.
Alexa Bliss comes out. She wants a rematch. Apparently that's happening at No Mercy, too.
She says, Sasha, you have a hard time keeping your... No, the rematch is happening next week.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah. She says, you have a hard time keeping your...
belts.
Defending your belts.
Yep, keeping the belts once you win it.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. We'll see if Alexa Bliss works on that loss face or win face, depending.
Yeah,
but
I imagine
it's going to be another loss face.
So telegraphed.
Yeah.
Next, Jason Jordan versus Finn Balor. Here's the thing. There is a spot... I wouldn't have noticed it, but they replayed it after the commercial break where Jason Jordan goes to shake Finn's hand and Finn just hits him.
Yeah.
And after that, Jason Jordan seemed like, okay, well, I'm not going to be the nice guy anymore.
It's like that, is it?
Yeah. So maybe that's just a little subtle pivot in his character.
I hope so.
I know. We'll see what happens
because
next week.
You see, like, I just, when he actually came out for the match, and you just look at the crowd just, you know, at times been like fever pitch, and they were just sitting there as if a ghost, like as if you can't see anything that's in there.
Like, well, they kind of acted like they got their goddamn beach balls out and started playing with beach balls instead of paying attention to a Finn Balor match. Finn Balor.
Yeah, but everybody knew the outcome. It's Jason Jordan.
It was a good match, though. Jason it was Jordan a good match.
Yeah, Jason Jordan's good.
He's a really good wrestler. Say what you will about his character work. That's not entirely his fault, I don't think, because creative doesn't know what to do with him. He always delivers in the ring.
Do you think they don't know what to do with him, or do you think they're doing exactly what they want to do with him?
Okay, maybe they don't know what to do with him, but, or it's either that or what they're doing with him isn't the course they should be taking.
I just don't know what they're doing with him. I'm very confused by this. You had like a really hot story, kind of, and then a big reveal, and then...
That was anticlimactic to a degree.
Yeah, totally. It was. I'm not going to say confusing, but it was just like, well...
Well, the way they set it up, they set up as if it was going to like completely shake Kurt Angle's world.
Yeah, I know.
And it wasn't that.
I know.
That's what I meant by anticlimactic. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So
they got out the beach balls.
Yeah. Just stop with the beach balls already. Just stop.
It's okay. You can play with beach balls if you want.
Go to the beach and play with your beach balls.
Who wants to do that? It's like probably cold outside out there on the East Coast, man.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Just stop with the beach balls. It's such a distraction. And when WWE shows people playing with the beach balls in the crowd, it eggs them on. They're going to do it more.
It's going to make it worse.
Because everybody wants to bring their beach ball and play with it in the crowd so they can get on TV.
Yeah, I know.
So they can take over the show.
Let me ask you something. Just stop with it. Let me ask you something. What do you like worse? What do you dislike more? Beach balls or the people in the audience that spend the entire show trying to get everybody to chant what they want to chant? Because that bugs me more.
I think the beach balls infuriate me more.
Because here's the thing about the beach ball. If I'm sitting there, right, and I got like my beer and I got my hot dog and I got some popcorn ready to go and I know Lacey's on her way with nachos, and then like the beach ball thing happens and it comes near me and I'm like, oh, we're going to protect my crap here, and then the beach ball goes away. It's a second. If idiot is sitting next to me.
Well, I think that's
part of it. And he's standing there. Hey, everybody, chant what I want you to chant. Let's chant something clever that I just thought of because I'm funny, everybody. Look at me.
I think that's part of it. It's proximity.
Oh.
See, if I
would be rageful.
If I'm sitting near a person like that, that'd probably bother me more. But if there's a beach ball in that arena, it's going to irritate me.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a distraction. I didn't pay... See, I know you say people pay their money. They should be able to do what they want in terms of playing with beach balls and stuff. I pay money to go into the arena and watch wrestling. I don't want to be distracted by beach balls.
I'll put it here. I'll put it this way. I'm not a fan of the beach ball. We're going to debate like the lines that fans shouldn't be crossing on Friday on our debate show. Because we do differ in that. But the beach ball doesn't bother me as much as even if it's not right next to me. Seeing idiot over there doing that, understanding that he is ruining the experience of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or so people directly around him. If he's in front of me, or if I see him and he's blocking the view of somebody because he wants everybody to chant, or there's somebody next to him, or they have like, God forbid, you know, they have their poor kids next to him. Oh, that's the worst.
Well, that's when someone nearby has to say, excuse me, you're. You know, you're ruining our experience here. We paid a ticket just as you did.
Yeah.
Please be more considerate.
But nobody should have to be that awkward person.
Here's the thing about the beach balls, though.
Because the beach ball doesn't make you do that. The beach ball...
It doesn't, but here's the thing. Here's why I think, in a sense, the beach ball is worse. Because say you're sitting near that person.
We're having our debate show now.
I know. Say you're sitting near that person.
Yeah.
For the most part, you would hope that's an isolated thing. That's just one person. Whereas you could be sitting across the arena, trying to enjoy the show, realizing there's beach ball business going on. And then 2 minutes later, it's right on top of you.
Yeah.
The area of distraction of the beach ball is far greater than one
person.
Yes.
Because you're one little drop in a giant bucket of potential little tiny beach balls.
But if I'm sitting across the arena from some guy who's trying to start a bunch of chants, that's not
here's the thing.
That's not going to bother me.
It's the difference between you and I because I focus on stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, I hate that guy. Like that to me, my rage and hatred being directed towards that idiot, that's a bigger distraction than the beach ball making the rounds.
Can't stand the beach ball. Can't stand it.
Good debate we just had there. That's a preview of what you can...
I think that's the whole debate we're
probably
going to do on Friday.
It's done.
Sorry, it was on my mind.
No, it's good.
I that's a position I hold with great passion.
Yeah.
I don't like the beach balls.
Yeah.
Stop with the beach balls, please.
Yeah.
Main event was next. Reigns and Cena against Miz and Samoa Joe. Of course, the beach balls were out. Camera showed it. Cena was encouraging.
Cena was egging him on. And then after the show, apparently he got on the mic and said, I'm totally fine with what everybody did today because it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. It's beach ball. It's all in good fun.
It's a distraction. The Miz, the heel that makes good points, but telling the crowd to stop. Good point.
Yeah, but do you think he was really telling them to stop? Or do
Should've
you think
been.
He was healing them up, trying Should've to get some heel
telling
heat?
Them to stop because it's a distraction.
Yeah, maybe.
Really
anyways, fun match regardless, and it had a really cool finish where Joe was choking out Cena
in the coquina clutch,
and Roman went for the Superman punch on Joe and ended up landing it on Cena.
Yeah, Joe got out of the way, so then Joe tosses Roman out of the ring, goes to do a suicide dive on him, eats a punch to the face.
Yeah, that was fun.
Miz, seeing that Cena's laid up from the coquina clutch,
slash approaches punch.
Him. Goes for the skull crushing finale. Of course, Cena reverses it, hits the AA, one AA, wins.
Well, yeah, that's why Miz is not fighting for the Universal Championship anytime soon.
It's a meaningless match for Miz.
Yeah, exactly.
So he can just lay down for one AA.
Yeah, that's not a big deal. Although you would think that Cena and Miz go back far, because I think Cena probably likes Miz.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he probably has
or
respect
at least
for
respects
Miz.
Him, yeah.
Yeah. I think he's fine with Miz. It would have been nice if Cena did the double AA thing.
Or a top rope.
An extra bit of respect for Miz.
Yeah, hit one AA, do the rollover, pick him up, another AA.
That would have been nice.
That's always an impressive sight, too.
Yeah. Anyways, let's answer.
Answer some questions,
some
please.
Questions from people that have asked questions on the Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/Steve and Larson. Here we go.
Eddie Jose Guevara Menavar. Hey, friendos, would you guys have liked a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental title instead of a tag team match? That's what I thought was going to happen when Joe first came out and interrupted the Miz, Roman, and Cena segment. I feel it would have elevated the title since it wasn't defended at SummerSlam.
Jason the Cabby here has a good response to this. He says, good thought, but creative slash Vince sees all those guys except for Miz and the Mr. Raj as too big for the IC title. I kind of agree with that. I liked when they were trying to establish in the Raw after, the Raw after Payback. What was the Raw we went to?
Raw after Payback.
Yeah, okay, yeah. When they were trying to establish the Intercontinental Championship as
the top belt, yeah.
As
the top day-to-day belt, sorry.
The top day-to-day belt. On par with the U.S. title over there on SmackDown, like with AJ and Kevin Owens and all those guys, you had Seth, Finn, and Dean and The Miz all in the mix for the IC title. I think that would have been... I like that better than like Samoa Joe, who's just coming off the Universal Championship, John Cena, who's megastar guy,
yeah,
and then
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns, who's also being groomed for the Universal
that
Championship.
That said, I would not be surprised if Cena picks up the Intercontinental title because he hasn't won it yet.
That'll be now. We'll
and
see.
Then drops it to Joe.
Yeah. Dom the Man Hilberg. Cena's on Raw, but he's not inserting himself in the Universal title picture. Are they about to put the IC title on him to make him a Grand Slam champ before he leaves for Hollywood?
Potentially.
Maybe. Do you want to see that?
If it means Joe gets the belt, yes.
Joe is already above belt, though.
But if after No Mercy,
yeah,
I'm assuming
he can make the belt
I'm
bigger.
I'm assuming Lesnar's going to be going away till SummerSlam, so that's a couple months.
Yeah,
they need a very strong top day-to-day champion. Yeah. Not to say the Miz isn't, but giving Joe that opportunity would be pretty cool. Hamza Hilal, is Asuka's injury the perfect way for them to take the belt off her without having her lose and then move on her to main? You say no.
I say no. The title, like stripping her of the title because she's injured, is I think it's the wrong way to go. That's not the way you take the belt off of Asuka.
Apparently, a father and son were kicked out of the arena last night for using the beach balls.
Ah,
I'm not saying
go.
You have to go that far. Just tell them to stop using it.
Yeah,
you have to kick them out.
Oh, father and son.
Yeah. Don't have to kick him out.
I hope it was a guy in his like 60s and then his son's in his 30s as opposed to like a guy in his
30s. There's video on WrestleZone. I'm not saying throw people out. Just take the ball away.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I like when we mentioned the Daily Show today.
Oh, interim champion. Champions. Yeah, then when Asuka comes back, have a match to determine the true NXT Women's Champion.
Real champion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Discord Club leader Adam Fella says, I expected some kind of NXT call-up this episode, so who would you call up for this post-SummerSlam Raw? Who would have you called up?
Authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm. Build them up for a bit to feud mm-hmm. with Ambrose and Rollins.
Yeah, sure.
I think that'd been pretty good. Them and, yeah. Yeah, Authors of Pain. I think that's it.
Yeah, pretty much, because I want...
I don't want to see a whole lot of...
I don't want like a, no.
Maybe like one, maybe two per show at most.
Like, I'd like to see Bobby Roode tonight mm-hmm. and the Iconic Duo. Mm-hmm. Put them on SmackDown mm-hmm. right now. Why not? Let's ask this question from Robert Chacone. The Steve Club Mark says, Beach Ball Mania made a sequel appearance during the main event. What are some other things that the crowd does that downright pisses you off? Besides what we've already mentioned. Is there
what
else?
Chance? I'm tired of what chance.
Oh, stop with yeah. the what chance. Yeah, inappropriate what chance. They're, the only time you should do those are with McMahon's. Mm-hmm. And even then it should be CM Punk chance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Pizza Overlord Enos Butts the Fourth. Hey, friendos. The crowd was super vocal tonight, positively for Braun and Miz and negatively for Cena and Reigns. Which reactions are more impactful, do you believe?
I'd say the positive ones for Braun
yeah.
because they're really showing the higher-ups. They're showing Vince that people love Braun.
Yes.
People want Braun.
Put the belt on him. Mayor of Planet Houston. Who is the face and heel between Roman and Cena, and where does Samoa Joe go from here? Also, is The Miz the best? Could he be one of the most over guys soon if they let him?
Well, hold on. Miz is great. Joe is the best. Right. We agree on that one.
Joe is the best. Who is the... they both kind of exist.
Well, according to the crowd, they both suck. But that's a different crowd.
Yeah.
On a week-to-week basis...
I feel like Cena's going to be the face and Roman's going to be the heel.
Yeah, I get that. I get that idea, too. Because Cena can play with the crowd a lot more.
Yeah.
Cena can play with the crowd. Roman cannot.
Yes.
Samoa Joe Raleigh. How many birds do you think Strowman could house comfortably in his beard? I like this. This might be the most upvoted question I've ever seen.
Five.
Ten upvotes.
Five, I think.
Five small birds, yeah. Like one giant.
Like one condor?
Like
condor.
That's a good one. That's funny. Oh, here we go. Josh Gunson. First time patron. He says, I had a heated discussion with a friend about the most important days in the WWE calendar, and he gave his power ranking of it.
Oh.
He said, number one, Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Rumble. Number three, Raw after Mania. Number four, SummerSlam. And number five, Money in the Bank. He says he thinks otherwise. I'm kind of curious what his friend thinks because...
That's pretty good.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily disagree with that. Mania is most important. Rumble second most. Raw after Mania they made to be fairly important because that's when they do some shakeups.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, hit the reset on some storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And then SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be the WrestleMania of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could argue that Money in the Bank maybe mm-hmm. doesn't belong in the top five, but that's still not a bad one.
Yeah, I know, but what would be number five?
I don't know.
What's bigger, Money in the Bank or... Raw after SummerSlam.
Well, I mean, this year, Money in the Bank. Although the... Yeah.
The SmackDown after Mania.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Money in the Bank, especially now that both titles mm-hmm. could see a shakeup mm-hmm. of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Money in the Bank. I mean, yeah. I can't think of another number five.
Yeah, I can't either. If we're just strictly sticking to the WWE calendar,
mm-hmm.
if not, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn number five.
How about January 4th, Tokyo Dome?
Yeah. The Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. My question is about Bray Wyatt. I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and all of them at this point have soured on him, mostly because his promos at this point are just rambling. His matches man. Are always average at best. So my question is, why do you guys still like him? By the way, Larson is completely right. Bray would go to GFW. Rusev is a far better fit in New Japan. Why do we still like him? Because we see the potential. At least speaking personally, I still see the potential in him. He's a money-making machine if they book him correctly.
Let me ask you this, though. Did you miss him at Raw last night?
I was surprised he didn't make an appearance.
Yeah.
That's not to say I missed him, per se, but I was surprised he wasn't there.
I'll put it this way. I'm not sour on him. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, oh, screw Bray. I don't want to see Bray ever again. Nobody can ever take seriously Bray Wyatt again because that's BS. It's not true. Like, he could easily win the Universal title tomorrow and everybody be totally back on board with it. People would pop. That's always going to be his thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going to say that. That being said, it's been a while since I've really cared about what they're doing with him.
Yeah, that so, I agree with 100%.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Even Sowerby might have become a bit more disinterested.
Yeah, because they don't do anything with him.
No. Ty Dingleberry. Hey, friendos. Power ranked new names for the Superman punch if for some reason WWE lost the right to use Superman. So DC went to WWE and said,
DC says,
can't use it.
Can't do that no more.
The Rainmaker.
You can't be that. The Naymaker.
Couple more.
All right. Let's see here.
James Rodriguez, do you think Seth and Dean will last long enough to get their own name theme combo like Sheamus and Cesaro did, or will they end as quickly as they began, like Y2 AJ? Neither. They're so popular as single stars. People show up, I guess, to hear their themes, see their finishers, that that's just how it's going to be.
I think it's both. I think they're going to last a while with these titles, and they're going to keep separate entrances.
Yes.
I don't think they're ever going to get their dual music. I don't think that's ever going to happen. They could maybe do some weird mashup, but no, they're going to do...
No, I think it'll be like what they did last night where they play a few bars of
Ambrose's theme. Because that's what they do with Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they actually have an intro that's got some choreography to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Dean walked out, Rollins walked out, they walked the ring. Ambrose didn't do his usual
I think what they're going to do... Did they do this last night? Or am I just imagining this? The first person's going to walk out and go like this.
They didn't do that.
The second person's going to walk out.
There was no fist bump.
They're going to link up, and that's when they're going to go. That's my prediction.
One more.
Oh,
we'll do
kayfabe corner. Okay. JT, if Samoa Joe told you, Steve, that Larson is not hosting with you, he will now be your partner, would you stand up for Larson?
Wait, start again.
Samoa Joe comes up to me and says, Larson's not hosting with you. I'm hosting with you.
Oh, take that deal.
Now I'm going in.
I'm telling you to take that deal.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe. He's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I like our dynamic. I'm not sure I'll have the same dynamic with Samoa Joe.
I don't know, man.
If it's in character Samoa Joe, I'm not sure I'd want to take that deal.
You'll get a view pop because it's Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
People love Samoa Joe. Take that deal.
Oh, we'll get the view pop, and then I'll just, like, once it starts to, once people get used to it, and I want you back.
You're going
to
swerve him.
I'll just start farting. I'll just eat a lot of onions beforehand, and I'll just be like, and I'll be like, are you farting over there?
It's gross, man.
Sorry, Joe.
One more question. This will be interesting. Colin, using only currently signed WWE talent, so no one rumored to be signing.
Okay.
Who do you see holding all the main roster belts 2 years from now?
Alex C. says, their current combo finisher should be called Dirty Needs.
It's good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Anyways, what's the question?
Who's going to hold the belts 2 years from now? Main roster belts. Cruiserweight champion, Leo Rush.
2 years from now?
I mean, it'll happen sooner probably, but...
I'm going to say 2 years from now, Mustafa Ali.
Oh, good pick.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Me too.
Universal champion. AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Intercontinental champion.
The Intercontinental belt is so weird. I mean, Kevin Owens had it. Miz and Dolph. Dolph ain't nowhere now.
That's the toughest one to pick for them.
If there's any indication, Miz is still going to have it.
Yeah, Miz.
Still Intercontinental Champion.
Raw Tag Team titles. The Revival. They'll finally stay healthy long enough.
Yeah, there you go.
To get back in the good graces of Vince.
It's going
to
take 2 years.
I know. Over on SmackDown, WWE title.
WWE title on SmackDown is going to... Randy Orton.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's going to be... I'm having a hard time thinking of roster spots.
So coming out of SummerSlam, who's going to...
Braun. Braun will have
it. Oh, he'll be on Braun's, SmackDown?
Braun's eventually going to be like a complete top title guy.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to be.
U.S. title.
U.S. title. I'm going to say, okay, for SmackDown tag team titles, I'm going to say Street Profits. They feel immediately like SmackDown guys.
Oh, that'd be great.
They're going to have it 2 years from now.
I'm going to say War Machine.
U.S. title, I'm going to say Sami Zayn.
Okay.
2 years from now. He'll get out of that hole.
Okay. Take him 2 years, though, huh?
It'll take him a while.
I'm going to say Drew McIntyre.
A year ago, I thought that Sami Zayn would be fighting for the Universal title this year.
All right, Steve, are you ready? That. Are you ready for the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge there is?
Aleister Black. Heck yeah. WWE champion. Kayfabe Corner.
What is Kayfabe Corner?
Greatest wrestling trivia challenge.
Yes, 12 names, some real, some fake.
Right.
Two trivia questions.
Right.
Up for vote this week, Asuka.
Oh, ooh, wow.
And Becky Lynch.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Asuka won.
Ooh.
Are you ready? Number one.
Yeah.
Sheila Rogers.
Real.
Fake.
Good job.
Two, Betsy Ruth.
Betsy Ruth, fake.
Real.
Okay.
Three, Dr. Monstrous.
That's a good one. I'll say real.
Yep.
Okay.
Four, Robin Maguire.
Robin Maguire. Fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Five, Stephanie McIntosh.
Fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Six, Lou Fisto.
Real?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Seven, Sally Stitches.
Fake.
Real.
Wow, nice.
Eight, Passion Ray.
Passion Ray. Fake.
Mm-hmm. No, sorry. Real.
Oh, wow.
Next, Haley Skater.
Fake.
Yeah. Next, Crazy Sunshine.
Fake.
Real.
Okay. Wow, that's a good one.
I know. Next, Jesse McKay.
Fake.
Real.
Wow.
Lastly, Ashley Dashwood.
Fake.
Yeah.
Okay. I got six.
Who did Asuka face in her very first United States match? First match in the United States.
I'm going to say Alicia Fox.
Mia Yim.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Who did Asuka face in her NXT in-ring debut?
Alicia Fox.
Dana Brooke.
Oh, okay.
So we got six or five?
I got six. It's not great. Not a great showing
It's
today.
Not terrible, though, either.
It's literally half of questions anyways.
Yes.
So yeah, that's it. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to hang out with our patrons for a little bit.
Yep.
And then we're going to have some lunch.
Yep.
Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.